Real businesses like Malibu Apothecary rely on Spectrum to keep them connected.
We're a fragrance company, but we also have a lot of technology that we use. Spectrum is really the backbone of any of the business we do here. Having a reliable, fast internet service that can fit my budget is really great. I traded a 9 to 5 for a 5 to 9. It's a lot of work, but I love it.
Spectrum Business Internet starts at $40 a month when bundled. Learn more at spectrum.com/business. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
I'm Rhett.
And I'm Link.
And we're the hosts of the podcast Ear Biscuits. We're just two lifelong friends who've been talking about life for a long time.
From being dads to businessmen to all the random things we experience, nothing is off limits.
And now we're talking to you. We're answering your questions, giving advice that you may or may not want to take, and listening to your hilarious stories.
So leave us a voicemail to be part of the show at
1-888-EARPOD1 on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Straight up with no chaser. You're in the sports bar with Danger and Battaglia on the Sports Leader, 95.7 FM and AM 950 The Fan, Rochester.
I ain't doing that darkness retreat. I don't need any of that crap. Like, either you want to be a Pittsburgh Steeler or you don't. That's simple. That's the pitch. Like, if you want me to recruit, that's the recruiting pitch. You know, Pittsburgh Steelers, if you want to be part of it, so be it. If you don't, no skin on my back.
Pittsburgh Steeler defensive tackle Cam Hayward earlier this offseason as OTAs wrap up around the NFL. We've spent some time talking about what's going on in Pittsburgh with the lack of what appears to be any sort of quarterback plan, or at least we're waiting on Aaron Rodgers to sign a deal with the Pittsburgh Steelers. We welcome in our favorite Yinzer from the BetMGM Network. You can hear him weekends here on The Fan. Our buddy Chris Mack. What's going on, Chris? I mean, it can't be... Can't be Will Howard and a guy who was once benched for Duck Hodges week one for the Pittsburgh Steelers. How important is it for Aaron Rodgers to make a commitment here? How important it is for the Steelers to meet Rodgers' demands?
Yeah, I don't know if it's the demand. He was pretty clear when he was on the Pat McAfee show about a month ago, guys, that he'll play for $10 million, which is pretty low cost for a franchise quarterback and a guy who's won 4 MVPs and a Super Bowl as long ago as it was. So I don't think it's finances. I do take some stock in what Rodgers said on that same appearance with McAfee where he noted that he's got stuff going on. I think as much of it may be that he doesn't want to catch a bunch of heat again for not attending OTAs after signing with a new team. We remember what he went through with the Jets a couple years ago, and OTAs, the optional part of these June practices, wrap up next Thursday. So there is a pretty strong feeling. I also co-host a podcast with Mark Cabali here in Pittsburgh, Cabali and Mac, which you can find on YouTube, plug. And Mark's been covering the team for 2 decades now, and he's of the belief that as soon as these optional part of the team activities are over, Rodgers will be here in Pittsburgh, maybe taking part in a few of those mandatory mini-camp practices in a couple weeks, and then ready to go for training camp. And that's really the sense around the organization as a whole, guys, that Rodgers will be here eventually, that if something were to happen and he does flake out, you know, the contingency plans would be either Mason Rudolph, who some people in the organization still have a lot of belief in, a lot of fans, myself included, still have a decent amount of belief in Mason Rudolph. He won 3 games down the stretch for them 2 years ago and got him into a wild card, the Blizzards over in Buffalo. And then there's always, if for some reason Mike Tomlin really wasn't happy with that idea, that maybe they would take a swing on Kirk Cousins and adding him to the fold. If the Falcons get tired of sitting on him and the ask as far as, you know, how much of the contract has to be taken on wouldn't be too hefty. So they have their contingency plans in place. I don't think it involves Will Howard starting it all this year, seeing any significant time, unless there's multiple injuries, in which case your season's starting to swirl the drain anyway if you're losing your top or one or two quarterbacks. So probably not Howard. He admitted his struggles in the first couple days of OTAs yesterday. Probably not even Rudolph, although it's a solid backup to have. It probably will be Rodgers, maybe as soon as, you know, a week, 10 days from now, when they transition to the mandatory part of these June practices.
Chris, how's it going over with the fan base there? Because when you have Pittsburgh sports royalty this week and Terry Bradshaw telling the guy Rodgers to go eat bark, I'm just wondering, you know, like, I mean, at what point are we at that point where, you know, Steelers fans are just kind of throwing their hands up into the air?
Well, I will say earlier in the offseason, there was a lot of frustration with what seemed like a lack of a plan, that they didn't maybe go as far as they could have to try and retain Justin Fields, who a lot of people in town liked when they saw him start 4-2 last year, that they seemingly had no interest in Russell Wilson, who, again, when he took over, won 7 games before things went down the toilet late in the year, and then not having any real solid plan in the direction of anybody else that was available. You know, some mild interest in Sam Darnold, but not at the price tag that he ended up going to Seattle for. Maybe a few exploratory talks with the Rams about Matt Stafford before that whole thing cooled off. But a lot of fans earlier in the offseason, guys, were upset at what seemed like a lack of a plan. More people now, I think, understand that the plan since Fields signed with the Jets has been to hone in on Rodgers. And I think whether they like Rodgers and some of his, I don't know if we call them political, scientific, whatever, thoughts on the world, they want a quarterback who can come in and help the team win some games with this defense as it starts to get a little older, right? You play to Cam Hayward bumping back from that break. Cam's not getting any younger. T.J. Watt's not getting any younger. Might be getting his last long-term contract extension here this summer. Minkah Fitzpatrick, really, not even getting any younger. He's in his late 20s now. So they're trying to capitalize on what they have with this defense with a quarterback, as stopgap as it may be in Rodgers, and I think fans are resigned to that fact. It did surprise me. We talked to Rudolph last week or the week before on our show, and you know, the fan reaction, I'd say 90% of the comments and replies and mentions were supportive of Mason.
Yeah.
Because he's really come in. He's, you know, they've seen him. He's gone through it here in Pittsburgh. Let's be honest. The guy that was supposed to be his mentor, the number one when he was drafted, showed an open distaste for the fact that they drafted him in Ben Roethlisberger. Then he got, got hit by Earl Thomas and his face mask unscrewed, so dragged off the field like the Great Gazoo. Then you have him getting beat with his own helmet by Myles Garrett, and then getting, like you mentioned, benched for Duck Hodges. So he's been through it here in Pittsburgh. Fans know that and I think appreciate it. And so there is a surprising amount of support behind Mason Rudolph here in town, that if Rodgers doesn't come in, or if Rodgers should struggle a lot early on, people are going to be asking for Rudolph.
I think about the reputation that Rodgers has in recent mm-hmm. years. Coach killer, or, you know, a locker room disruptor, kind of a not really a chemistry guy. And I'm wondering how it all works, because you've got an alpha in Mike Tomlin. You've got a guy who I consider to be one of the more arrogant coaches in the league in Arthur Smith. It's my way, and that's the way that it's going to be. And how does it all play if you have Rodgers as part of that stew offensively with the Steelers?
Well, the one thing I will give Mike Tomlin credit for is he has known how to handle those type of personalities.
Sure.
The people that are sort of, hey, I'm one, and then there's these other 52 guys on the roster. He did it with Roethlisberger for a time. He did it with Antonio Brown, and pretty well with Antonio Brown. I mean, we saw how he went off the rails once he left Pittsburgh. So he should be able to handle Rodgers no problem. And I think Arthur Smith is going to have to resign himself to the fact that when and if, probably more likely when, Rodgers comes in, he's going to have to marry a lot of his concepts to the stuff that Rodgers likes to do. Does that mean less play action? Does that mean not running the ball quite as much? I don't know how that meeting with Rodgers went back in late March, early April, when he snuck in and out of town over the course of a few hours. But I imagine it had to go fairly well, at least from Rodgers' side of the table, in that he's still interested in coming here and most likely going to be here at some point this summer. For Arthur Smith, you're right. It may be tough, but I think there would be a look back on Smith's offense last year, and Mike Tomlin would probably sit Arthur down if he hasn't already and say, hey, I appreciate what you're trying to do. I'm a run-first guy, too. I want to win with defense also. But if we've got a future Hall of Fame quarterback at our disposal and he shows us even flashes of what he had in his prime, we're going to have to lean on that guy. And I think that's the most important part of Arthur and Mike and Aaron all coming together is that they need to understand, all of them, everybody involved, that Aaron's not prime MVP Aaron Rodgers anymore, right? He is much more like late-stage Ben Roethlisberger, where you get the occasional lightning bolt shot out of his rear end and it steals you a game late. And if they get that out of him, it's probably enough to take them from 9-8 to 10-7. Maybe they sneak an extra win in there and end up 11-6. Either way, we're probably talking about a wild card or wild card adjacent team if they go about it the way they've gone about it the last couple years, which is, hey, take what we can get out of the quarterback, let our defense win us a couple of games, and go from there. Anything can happen once we get in, as Mike Tomlin calls it, the tournament.
Spectrum Business keeps real businesses, like Rise Bakery, connected.
As a business owner, my Spectrum services help simplify my day. Everything we do is easier knowing that we've got a reliable connection. And it helps our business just run really smoothly. Even though our techniques are very ancient, we rely just as heavily on technology. Spectrum allows my business to go from surviving to thriving.
Keep your business running smoothly with Spectrum Internet, starting at $40 a month. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
I'm Rhett.
And I'm Link.
And we're the hosts of the podcast Ear Biscuits. We're just two lifelong friends who've been talking about life for a long time.
From being dads to businessmen to all the random things we experience, nothing is off limits.
And now we're talking to you. We're answering your questions, giving advice that you may or may not want to take, and listening to your hilarious stories.
So leave us a voicemail to be part of the show at
1-888-EARPOD1 on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcast.
Chris, I mean, the networks would love that if the Steelers got in as a 6 or a 7. And, hey, everybody, tune in here for this wild card round. It's Rodgers against Jackson or Allen or whoever it may be.
Yeah.
It was kind of a joke last year with the Jets that, hey, let's bring in all my guys here, your Davante Adams, your Allen Lazard. Mm-hmm. But should that be also kind of expected? Are the Steelers ready to bring in some different people? And maybe the story is kind of married to that, but I'm reading here that there's a deal perhaps in place for Jonnu Smith. Your thoughts on what could happen with the rest of the personnel here on the Steelers offense?
Yeah, I don't think there's any of those Aaron Rodgers adjacent guys floating around out there. There were some rumors about, well, what would they have to do to maybe get Romeo Doss, right? Because they're basically, after the Pickens trade, down to Metcalf and a bunch of dudes. Calvin Austin has been decent in his first couple of years in the league, but he's a smaller guy. Roman Wilson, who they drafted out of Michigan last year, has a ton of potential, but was hurt most of last year and couldn't get on the field once he did get healthy. We'll see how those guys fold in, but they don't have a true wide receiver two on this roster. There's the possibility, right, that they could go out and get a Cooper or, you know, another one of those veteran wide receivers that's still out there and has yet to sign a deal somewhere. And there's a good chance that happens before training camp and that they're not necessarily Aaron Rodgers kind of guys, you know, that they're not the Lazards or Dobbs of the world. I do think the Jonnu Smith thing might be a little bit of an agent play. It's no coincidence that Adam Schefter was, I think, the one to break the original report. I think Adam has a pretty good relationship with Jonnu's agent, Drew Rosenhaus. One of those things where Jonnu Smith, I even saw it reported, has been publicly saying he'd prefer to stay in Miami. I think this is just a coy little play to maybe put some leverage on the Dolphins and say, hey, get me a deal or else, then I'll definitely want out. I just don't see the room for Jonnu Smith in this offense. You've got Pat Freiermuth, who is the second highest paid guy on the offense behind only Metcalf. You've got a young tight end out of Georgia a couple years ago in Darnell Washington, who they haven't really utilized to his full potential yet. They've got the tight ends on the roster. I know Arthur Smith would put 13 of them on the field at once if he could, but I don't think adding Jonnu Smith to the mix is the answer. I think that's probably more just of a leverage play by Smith and his agent.
And Chris Mack, you can hear him this weekend on the BetMGM Network. Cavalli and Mack, the podcast to check out on YouTube. And our favorite Ians are joining us in the sports bar with Danger and Battaglia. Chris, I love George Pickens' talent, but I didn't love his game. In a word, describe his tenure in Pittsburgh.
I guess tumultuous would be the word.
Okay.
If I could be more elaborative and descriptive, didn't reach his full potential, right? Just never really did. He had the potential to be a true wide receiver one in an offense that can cater to him and get him the number of targets that make him feel like he's being used to his full potential. Immaturity, actually, than tumultuous. He's just still immature. I don't know if the trade to Dallas will help lessen that immaturity, help him grow up a little bit. I got to imagine that's a tough place to find more maturity in that locker room with that owner and that system. But he's not going to get more targets in Dallas. Is CeeDee Lamb still going to be the guy there? I know they're talking. I saw CeeDee and Georgia something a couple weeks ago where CeeDee insisted, no, there's no one and two here. It's one and one. Well, look, if Dak decides that one guy is more open than the other, and one guy gets 13 targets and catches two touchdowns on a given day, and the other guy gets four targets and two catches for 10 yards, you know what we're going to see from George Pickens on the sideline. There might be a helmet getting spiked. He might take a dumb personal foul in a bad spot at the end of a game. That's just his maturity level right now. So if we're talking about George Pickens in Pittsburgh, in a word, it's immaturity.
All right, a fantasy type of question here, because you had a running back that was very productive, and now he's with the Chargers. So kind of taking over here is Jalen Warren, or is Calum Johnson going to go take carries away? How does that whole running back situation look for the Steelers here?
Well, Mike Tomlin, I wouldn't say is loath to put rookies in a start out of the gate, but he wants to make guys work for it. So I'm sure you're going to see Jalen Warren continue to get running back one reps and carries through camp and the preseason, and maybe even through the month of September. He is, I think, better as a complement. We'll see how that goes. I think eventually Calum Johnson gets more and more and more carries to where, you know, we're halfway through the season talking about a 50-50 split, which, to be honest, it was at times with Najee as well. Najee and Jalen Warren had the same number of touches some weeks. So, you know, I do like the fact that Calum Johnson has a little bit more of that home run potential than Najee had, in that when he hits the second level, he's got that burst, he's got that extra gear. You know, he hits the nitrous button like Fast and the Furious and he can take off. Najee never really had that ability. If he did, he didn't show it here. So you've got a little bit more home run potential with Calum Johnson. He's built very similarly to Najee, not quite as thick, but I think he and Warren are going to work well as complements to each other early on, and I think probably by the end of this season, you're going to see Calum Johnson sort of move into what Tomlin would call pole position, getting the bulk of the carries if he lives up to his potential.
Chris, while we have you, I wanted to ask you some questions about other Pittsburgh sports as well, because you've certainly got a very intriguing and interesting player in Paul Skeens with the Pirates. You know, the Pirates are the Pirates, but Skeens is electric. And I said last year, in his rookie year, what are they waiting for? They should just trade him now, because they're never going to pay him and you'll never get more than what you're going to get for Paul Skeens now. And to hear guys like Jeff Passan of ESPN kind of make that suggestion, have a lot of people shoot it down immediately. I mean, I see what's going on here, and we're just looking at where this is all headed with Skeens. Are the Pirates going to be able to afford Paul Skeens when it's all said and done? Because, man, that team need somebody like that to kind of galvanize a fan base and make people believe that they actually do want to contend.
Yeah, being able to afford and being willing to pay are two very different questions here in Pittsburgh with the Pirates. Any MLB team should be able to afford a top-of-the-line starting pitcher to anchor their rotation for the next who knows how many years, take them to the playoffs, win them some games in the postseason, if they're willing to pay him. And we know the story here in Pittsburgh is they're never willing to pay that guy. So, yes, there is a contingent of Pirates fans who say, like you did, man, he's going to be gone. He's going to be a Yankee or a Dodger in 4 years anyway. Just get it done now and get a bunch of prospects. But then I think there are a lot of people like myself who say, no, I'm tired of trading guys when they've got still a year or two left before free agency. At the very least, ride this out. And Paul Skenes has been vocal, to his credit. I don't know if his agent would agree with this, but he has been very vocal about saying, I want to win here. I want to turn it around. Will they back him by building a proper roster around him? They didn't do it this offseason. Their biggest move was trading for Spencer Horwitz, who was hurt for the first month and a half of the season and isn't a big bat anyway. They've got to decide if they want to trade. They've got a boatload of young, talented arms who they've accumulated over the last couple of years in the draft in the high minors. If they're willing to part with some of those guys, Andrew Solometo, Anthony Solometo, Braxton Ashcraft, there's a whole bunch of guys who they could deal and they could get some offensive pieces back, but they've got to stop doing this runaround where it's trading stars for potential stars. You look back at the Garrett Cole trade years ago, they got Joe Musgrove from the Padres, and he was great while he was here, but he wasn't a top-flight starting pitcher. He fulfilled more of his potential in San Diego since he's gone there, and in that deal, they got David Bednar and Endy Rodriguez. Endy Rodriguez is catcher, first baseman. David Bednar is kind of a closer, not really hold on to a lead. So you turned Garrett Cole into a former All-Star closer and a quad A catcher, first baseman. They got to stop doing that because the fans here are at the point where they show up in direct correlation, guys, to how much money is spent on the Major League roster. And I wish someone in the Pirates front office would look at a simple graph of, oh, we spend $100 million on payroll. We'll probably make $100 million at the gate and on concessions this year. In years where we only spend $60, we probably only make $60. They would go all in on spending $100, $110, $120 million on a roster, putting some legitimate bats around the pitching that they've accumulated, then they would have a chance. Mitch Keller, who's their number two starter and the longest tenured Pirate, could be that arm, even though he's not young, to maybe get them a bat or two. Part of the problem is they've got to do it via trades because I don't think many free agents are interested in coming to Pittsburgh. Beautiful ballpark and a city that gets behind its team when it's winning, but also a place where you know it's going to be tough to win simply because of the way the owner handles the finances. So, you know, like an Anthony been a great target this offseason, but they were never going to pay him enough. And when you're not willing to go out and pay decent money in free agency to help supplement drafted and developed over the years, you're just not going to get very far.
Yeah, you know, a follow-up to that, and the example here maybe I would give would be the Orioles, because the Orioles for many years kind of down and out, and they had some young talent. Hey, here's a new owner. And look, maybe this year is not the best example, but they got to the postseason. That was exciting last year. Tell us about Bob Nutting. Who is this guy? Is he an absentee owner? What's the reaction from the fan base? I would think from the outside, your best hope would be, please sell the team here and get somebody else in.
Yeah, if you took a poll of the least popular people in Pittsburgh, he would be near the top, if not at the very top of the list. He's not absentee, but, you know, he is around some. But when he's around, he gets jeered by the fans and heckled. He made the mistake of taking a walk through the left field rotunda on opening day and heard it from the fans. People do not like he consistently, since he took over control of the operation, gosh, nearly 20 years ago now, has nickel and dime thing. And so fans do not like Bob Nutting, the owner. If there were a way to force him to sell, they would be all for it. Unfortunately, from what I've heard, Bob Nutting is all in on continuing to own this team because he makes a profit, passing it down to his daughter at one point who will take control. And the Nutting family comes from a family that has made their money over the years owning little small local rural newspapers all over Ohio and Pennsylvania and Maryland, doesn't put a ton of money into them, and just makes what they can. Turn just a little bit of profit, and we're happy. And that's unfortunately the same way they treat their baseball team. Mm.
Chris, quickly, before we let you go, the next coach of the Pittsburgh Penguins will be?
Oh, I wish I could tell you that, guys. They've been so tight-lipped over there. There's very little coming out. And so I was a big fan of bringing Rick Tocchet back to Pittsburgh, but clearly we're going to have to root against our guy now that he's out in Philly.
Yep.
It does feel like they're going to go with a younger name, and Dubas is going to really, truly, finally make this his operation. I think there was always a little bit of difficulty for him in getting Mike Sullivan to work within the constraints they had to work within. So I won't give a specific name, but I'll say it is going to be one of these younger guys who hasn't had a shot to be a head coach yet and works closely with Dubas and understanding that this roster needs to be overhauled as quickly as possible to capitalize on maybe one more good run with Sidney Crosby if they can, but that they've also got to transition and turn over that roster and get those young guys the ice time necessary in those big moments so that when they do show up in the playoffs again, they're not wide-eyed and caught like deer in headlights, not knowing what to do. Sid will do everything he can to bring these young guys along on the ice, but the coach has to be all on board with Kyle Dubas in also doing that. Sully had a real tough time getting on board with that, especially when those young kids would go out and make the mistakes that we know young players are prone to making. I think we'll probably see another down year here in Pittsburgh, to be honest, under the new head coach. And if they don't get into the playoffs in that new coach's second year, then you're really going to see the heat turned up on Kyle Dubas' seat.
Well, if you want more Pittsburgh sports, may we suggest Chris Mack. Chris, tell everybody a little bit about Cavalli and Mack, that pod, and when we can catch you here on the BetMGM Network.
Yeah, on the BetMGM Network, filling in a whole lot this summer when people take their vacations. And then, obviously, BetQLU, we will fire back up once the college football season gets started on weekends later this late summer and early fall. And Cavalli and Mack on YouTube. We stream live on Twitter several times a week. Just search Cavalli and Mack. Like I said, Mark's been around this team for over two decades. He's been the president of the Pittsburgh Pro Football Writers Association before, so he's as plugged into the team as anybody, and he's also a goofball. If you've ever seen any of his appearances on the McAfee show, you know that. I just try to get him to show up and stay in line and stay on task and talk about the Steelers rather than talking about the sushi he had the night before. But we have fun, and if people want to check it out, Molly and Mac on YouTube.
Chris, appreciate the time as always, bud. Enjoy your weekend. Let's do it again soon.
Absolutely. I appreciate you guys. Have a good one.
There's Chris Mack. That's our favorite Yinzer. God, every time we have him in here, it's like just knowledge, more knowledge, and more knowledge. Just inside information. And a lot of it, things that you're not surprised to hear. Like, oh, Pirate fans don't like that owner. Yeah. That guy, the way he operates, if he's operating the team the way he operates his business, then that's his prerogative, but it's not going to field a winning franchise.
Well, if you're a Pirate fan, a Red fan, whatever, you're like, we can't compete. Are you willing to sacrifice major time in order to unwind here? Meaning a new CBA and making sure there's some sort of salary cap. More importantly, a salary floor, because you're going to have, there is no pressure for this Jamo down in Pittsburgh, this owner, ever to put anything else out there. To me, I would think to make more money, invest more in the product. That would be a simple way if I was running the team. Doesn't seem to have that philosophy. And then when you hear, he runs a chain of small-town newspapers. Okay, yeah, nickel and dime guy.
Checks out. A couple of names to keep in mind here as the Penguins narrow down their coaching search. Washington Capitals assistant coach Mitch Love and former Sens head coach, hey, Dandelorian, DJ Smith have emerged as two leading candidates for the Penguins. So Love was once the AHL Coach of the Year, his 2 years in the league, 21-22, 22-23. I want to say that was with Hershey. And Smith was let go by the Sens and hired with the Kings the day he was let go by the Senators in the head coaching role in Ottawa, hired by the Kings, where he spent the last season and a half as an assistant or associate coach. So a couple names to keep in mind there. The Sabres made a move today.
Yeah, we'll talk about that. We have time for your calls. It's happy hour. It's Friday. Sun's out. It feels great, doesn't it? 866-4FAN, 866-4326.
More next on The Fan, Rochester.
You're listening to The Sports Bar with Danger and Battaglia. 95.7 FM and AM 950. The Fan, Rochester.
Spectrum Business keeps real businesses, like Rise Bakery, connected.
As a business owner, my Spectrum services help simplify my day. Everything we do is easier knowing that we've got a reliable connection. And it helps our business just run really smoothly. Even though our techniques are very ancient, we rely just as heavily on technology. Spectrum allows my business to go from surviving to thriving.
Keep your business running smoothly with Spectrum Internet, starting at $40 a month. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
I'm Rhett.
And I'm Link.
And we're the hosts of the podcast Ear Biscuits. We're just two lifelong friends who've been talking about life for a long time.
From being dads to businessmen to all the random things we experience, nothing is off limits.
And now we're talking to you. We're answering your questions, giving advice that you may or may not want to take, and listening to your hilarious stories.
So leave us a voicemail to be part of the show at
1-888-EAR-POD-1 on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.